evil minds that plot destruction. Sorcerer of death's construction. In the fields of bodies burning, as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds.
Welcome to the Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia on the National Community Radio Satellite. Listen to the Anarchist World This Week, Australia's sacred cow slaughterhouse. Listen to analysis of local, national, international events. Listen to analysis you'll never hear anywhere else. Welcome to the Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia, courtesy of the Community Radio Network. My name's Joseph Toscano. This program is coming to you from the studios of 3CR in Melbourne and broadcast across Australia, courtesy of the Community Radio Network. So it's great to be back. I'm sorry you had to put up with three boring pre-records, but that's the reality. Occasionally somebody has to have a break, and I'm very pleased to be back. I think I was on the second last, or possibly, yeah, a flight from Abu Dhabi. So we have finally got here. Now, if you wonder what anarchy is all about, an anarchist society is a voluntary, non-hierarchical society based on the creation of political and social structures which are based on equal decision-making power and equal access to society's wealth. Why these concepts? Well, what you're seeing happening in the Middle East and around the world to a significant degree is due to inequalities in power and wealth. The anarchist struggle is the struggle to devolve power, share power, and the struggle to hold wealth in common and use it for the common good. Very simple concepts which even an idiot like me can understand. Now let's start off about Benny and the boys fooling the Washington buffoon. That's right. I'll say it again. Benny and the boys fool the Washington buffoon to do their dirty work for them. You see, there are two terrorist states in the Middle East. There's Israel, headed by a war criminal, and there's Iran, a theocracy, terrorist states. And for a number of decades, they've been kind of battling on the sidelines, using proxies. And we've seen the destruction on the West Bank and, more importantly, Gaza and what they're capable of, especially Benny. Now, Benny and his mates have a wet dream, and that wet dream is to conquer or neutralise, you like that word, neutralise the other terrorist state in the Middle East, but they're not strong enough. And they needed the big boys to come into town to do the heavy lifting for them. Now, the Washington buffoon, full of his own, his own self, has been played. And today I noticed that the buffoon is beginning to understand that the quagmire he is creating is directly related to the fact that Benny and the boys haven't told him the truth. The first day it was about neutralising Iran's nuclear ambitions. Well, I thought that happened in June when we were told by the Washington buffoon that they'd been obliterated. Then we had the call to the Iranian people to overthrow their overlords, to overthrow the theocracy, thinking that if they decapitated the head of this theocracy, that it'd all be over in 24 hours. Well, unfortunately, although the CIA is very good at tracking the leaders of the theocracy and eliminating them, I like those words, eliminate, not murder them, but eliminate them, what we see is the fact they have no understanding of power structures within Iran. Iran has multiple layers of power structures. You've got the Iranian Armed Forces. You've got the Revolutionary Guards who are there to protect the revolution. And then you've got a number of paramilitary militias whose job is to keep a lid on any protests among the Iranian people. Now, we heard this heartfelt cry from Benny and the Washington buffoon about them wanting to liberate the Iranian people, wanting to create a democracy in the Middle East. The fact is, they do not care about the Iranian people. All they're interested in is, you know, neutralising what they consider to be a competitor in the area. They have no understanding of the layers of power in Iran. It's just an extraordinary situation. And what I find even more extraordinary is all those idiots in the United States military who are willing to go out there and do what they're told. I mean, this is a totally ludicrous situation. Now, currently, there are 110,000 Australians, potential hostages in the Middle East. That is one in 200 Australians currently finds they cannot get back to this country, and the Australian government is basically powerless in attempting to repatriate people, right? That's one in 200. Now, I'm sure each of these Australians has at least 10 relatives and friends. So in many regards, about one in 10 Australians are directly impacted, and I'm talking about boring things like the price of oil, but directly impacted by what's happening. Now, obviously, the Washington buffoon had no idea that military intervention in Iran was going to cause so many issues for them. Now, obviously, the war criminals in Israel are more than happy to see Washington, the Washington buffoon, use all of the military assets at his disposal to push their agenda for them to become the predominant terrorist state in the Middle East. And if you don't think, you think I'm being a little bit, you know, harsh calling the Israeli government terrorists, look at what they did and are doing in Gaza and the West Bank and Lebanon. Now, a lot of people use the word democracy and regime change, right? Democracy and regime change. Now, it's interesting that most of the countries in the Middle East are not democracies. Saudi Arabia is a feudal monarchy supported by the West. The Emirates, feudal monarchy supported by the West. Bahrain, feudal monarchy supported by the West. Oman, feudal monarchy supported by the West. The Emirates, feudal monarchies supported by the West. So this call for the Iranian people to sacrifice themselves in the midst of a invasion is ludicrous, totally ludicrous. The fact is that the good thing about being old and not demented yet is that we remember things. And unfortunately, the buffoon in Washington was too busy cavorting with Mr. Epstein to remember the history of America and the history of what actually happens when you destabilize a region. So I'm going to ask you a question and then I'm going to answer it. What do Cambodia, Afghanistan, and Iraq have in common? What do they have in common? They have three things in common. the Khmer Rouge, the Taliban, ISIS, and an overriding USA. Now, during the Vietnam War, which lasted for years, decades, which saw the death of over 50,000 US troops, 3 million Vietnamese, and over 500 Australians, the continuous bombing of Cambodia and Laos in a secret war, which was being conducted by the war criminals, Nixon and Kissinger, resulted in the destruction of that country, the physical destruction and the rise of the Khmer Rouge, who were responsible for the massacre of over 2 million of their own people from a population of 10 million. Now, the interesting thing about the Khmer Rouge is that we continued to support Pol Pot and his henchmen for the next 35 years because the Vietnamese had invaded Cambodia, ousted Pol Pot. So it was fascinating. So you bomb a country back to the Stone Age. What occurs? What comes out of the rubble? A hardened, dispassionate rebels who are more than happy to impose whatever atrocities are necessary to try to create their vision of the world. And we saw that with the Khmer Rouge. Now let's go to Iraq. Now everybody thinks that Iraq, it was all about the invasion of the willing, and it was all over. You know, once the bombs had been dropped and Saddam Hussein had been hung. Well, unfortunately, what we saw in Iraq is chaos. And remember, Iraq has only got about 25 million people. We saw chaos, which resulted in the creation of ISIS, the very organisation which adherents took their direction from in the Bondi massacre less than 2 months ago. So the total destruction of organisations creates a power vacuum which allows the hardened and the dispossessed to come together to wreak revenge. So here we have ISIS, which continues, its atrocities continue to be felt around the world. Direct consequence of the United States or the coalition of the willing, which we were part of, invasion of Iraq. Now let's not forget Afghanistan and the rise and rise of the Taliban. Well, when Afghanistan was taken over by the Russians, the United States sponsored support for the Mujahideen, who eventually were responsible for the eviction of the Russians from Afghanistan. But the ensuing chaos saw the Mujahideen replaced by the Taliban. Again, the Taliban, who now control Afghanistan, were a direct consequence of the United States' interference in the country. Again, we had the hardened men come to the fore in a period of great confusion and destruction. And the irony is that although the West had been in Afghanistan, and this includes Australians, had been in Afghanistan for over 20 years, over 30 Australians died in the dust in Afghanistan, and we have information leaking out about the atrocities which were committed by certain members of the Australian Armed Forces in Afghanistan. What we saw is the Taliban, who had been in retreat for over 20 years, take over Afghanistan within 2 weeks. Extraordinary victory. So, does bombing a nation state back to the Dark Ages create democratic structures? Well, it doesn't. All it does is it destroys civil structures, destroys government authority, and creates the very environment which allows hardened men, in the majority of cases, to come together to take over and impose their will. So what do you think is going to happen in Iran? What do you think is going to happen in Iran if the Washington buffoon doesn't realise he's been played by Benny and the boys? Well, obviously, there were 25 million people in Iraq. Over 500,000 died during that takeover. There are 90 million people in Iran. 90 million people. And the fact is that bombing Iran back to the Dark Ages will only do one, will do two things. One, as the civilian casualties increase, more and more people who have been against the theocracy will move into the camp of the theocracy on, you know, nationalist grounds. And if the world, you know, assisting the USA and Israel, are able to dislodge the theocracy, what will come out of that in many regards will make the Taliban, the Khmer Rouge and ISIS look like a tea party. So, extraordinary situations. But the extraordinary situation is we are told the United States is a country with checks and balances. Checks and balances. What we are seeing at these checks and balances are almost, well, they are irrelevant, especially when you have a Congress which theoretically has the power to declare war being bypassed by a government which talks about all-out war as a combat mission. So what we are seeing is a limp, that's right, limp, Republican Congress and Senate refusing to put a limit on the powers of the president. Because it's highly unlikely, although Congress may veto or attempt to limit the Washington's buffoon powers as far as war is concerned. The fact is that you need a two-thirds majority in the Senate as well as the Congress for that power to be removed. And obviously the buffoon in Washington will veto initially any congressional attempts to limit his war power. Now, let's look at the theocracy. Now, a lot of people, I was fascinated to, as I came back to this country, you know, through the skin of my teeth, I was fascinated to see one of the most first things I saw was the Murdoch media talking about the killing of the devil. And I thought, oh, Lucifer's finally got his just desserts. Well, the Murdoch media, as expected, was talking about the Ayatollah and the death of the murder of the Ayatollah. And they equated him with the devil. Now, I think a lot of people need to understand that what we are seeing in the Middle East is not the normal military type of dictatorship or the feudal monarchies that exist or the, you know, war criminals which run the state of Israel, courtesy of the, obviously, of the Israeli people. But see, it's a theocracy. The murder of the Ayatollah by US and Israel is equivalent to killing the Pope in the Sistine Chapel to Shia Muslims. That is the equivalent. The Ayatollah was the head of Shia Muslims around the world. Now, obviously, I don't know how much you know about the Muslim religion. There's over a million, over a billion adherents around the world, and I'll speak about our own region in a minute. Of that billion, at least 200 million, possibly 250 million, belong to a minority sect, which is called Shia. There are Shia, there are Sunni, and obviously there are a lot of other little splinter groups, Awali, and the list goes on and on. But the two major groups are the Sunni and the Shia. Now, Shia Muslims basically live in Iran, Bahrain. There's a sizable minority in Saudi Arabia, the Emirates, Lebanon. That's where Hezbollah, you know, comes from. And the killing of the Ayatollah, to them, is equivalent to killing the Pope in the Sistine Chapel. It's the same equivalence. This is their religious leader. A theocracy occurs, and we had theocracies in European history over and over again. Holy Roman Empire, and the list goes on and on. Theocracy, in a theocracy, the religious and the state, there is no division in terms of power. The religious rule the state. Now, obviously, in such a situation, if you really want to inflame the situation, the first thing you do is you kill the religious leader. And that's what they did. Now, I don't know what type of advice the Washington buffoon has been receiving, but to kill the Shia Muslim leader of over 250 million Shia Muslims around the world is a route to never-ending war and conflict. They, in their stupidity, forgot that the theocracy in Iran is embedded in the state apparatus and the military apparatus, and removing the Ayatollah is really not going to have any significant impact, because there is another Ayatollah in waiting, and another, and another, and another, and another. Because Shia Muslims have been around for at least 1,500 years. Obviously, the Shia faction broke away in terms of who was going to be leading the religion with the death of Muhammad. So it really highlights, what we are seeing highlights the stupidity and ignorance of the Washington buffoon and all his advisers. And those people in the Republican Party who think that somehow by bombing a sovereign nation state into the Dark Ages will somehow result in democratic reform. Now, it's interesting that a lot of the Iranians in the diaspora, you know, those that have left for a variety of reasons, have hung their support behind the son of the late Shah of Iran and his granddad, who were military dictators, who were dictators, who were planted on the Iranian people in the early 1950s by both the British and the United States forces who wanted to maintain that oil in their control. The fact is, democracy does not come out of the total destruction of a country. So next time, now the other thing I find fascinating is how the Washington buffoon and his cronies, it's not just him, poor lad, and his cronies, seem to change the reason for the combat. You know, like that combat mission in Iran every day. Initially, it was to destroy Iran's nuclear ambitions. Let's not forget that the State of Israel has over 200 nuclear bombs. And we understand that if they feel they're under an existential threat, that they'd have no hesitation in using those nuclear bombs. And let's remember that Iran does not have a nuclear bomb, although obviously it's been trying to get one. So the first reason was, we want to neutralise their capacity to create a nuclear bomb. Now, I think I heard in June that the great Washington buffoon had told us that their nuclear ambitions had been obliterated. Well, obviously the lad didn't tell us the truth. Then we had, as all, you know, the chaos engulfs the Middle East, and let's not forget, as I said, 110,000 Australians trapped in the Middle East, one in 200. Then we were told it was about fostering a democratic revolution in Iran. And we saw those heartfelt pleas. That's right, from Benny and the boys and the Washington buffoon to the Iranian people to come out into the streets, be slaughtered by the paramilitaries who were waiting for them to come out in the streets to fight for democracy, when in other words, they just wanted the Iranian people to be cannon fodder for their own ambitions. Benny's wet dreams to become the prominent terrorist state in the Middle East. Then we heard that they needed to neutralise the country's missile capacity because of what they were doing to the feudal monarchs around Iran, you know, in a last desperate attempt to, survive. And today, as I said before, I heard it's because they had information that Iran was going to attack Israel. Come on. Who do they think we are? I mean, we may be simple and we may be stupid and we may be fed propaganda through the government gilded ABC and the Murdoch media and asocial media. But the fact is that anybody from one synapse neuron would understand that what has occurred in the Middle East is to the advantage, only to the advantage, of the Israeli terrorist state, is not to the advantage of the Iranian people. It is not to the advantage of the people in the United States of America. It is not to the advantage of the world, as we are seeing. So, let's leave it at that. I've thrown a few ideas out there for you to ponder. The fact is that this makes the invasion of Iraq by the coalition of the willing, looking for those elusive weapons of mass destruction, which they're still looking for, look like a picnic. All right, let's move on. Now, I want to put a bit of effort into looking at the Australian government, the Albanese-led government. Now, you're listening to The Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia by the Community Radio Network. My name is Joseph Toscano. I'm hosting today's program. The program is podcast. You can access the podcast by going to 3cr.org.au. Now, let's look at the Australian government and how foolish they are. Now, the first thing I'd like to remind people about is our geographical location and the fact that we are no longer isolated from the wars that occur in the Middle East, Europe, and even our region. Okay? Totally isolated. We're not isolated. We are, if there ever is confrontation with China, we are directly in the firing line as we host troops, United States troops in the north of this country, and we've got the facilities at Pine Gap, which I'm sure are being currently used to coordinate attacks in Iran. Not that the Australian government would know anything about it, because they're not even allowed to go on the base in Pine Gap. So, the Australian government was the first government on planet Earth which jumped up and down and said, we support the invasion of Iran. We support the United States of America and Israel. Now, obviously, not that international law means anything when there are no consequences for breaking international law. The fact is that what's happening there is against, in inverted commas, international law. Although the United States government thinks it's beyond, obviously, any international law. But here we are. Instead of waiting maybe a week to see what's going to develop, we jump up and down and say, yes, we support it. Now, again, I'm a very stupid individual. I don't know much, all right? I don't have a huge public service to advise me. I don't have ASIO to advise me. I don't have the Department of Foreign Affairs to advise me. I don't have a huge Commonwealth public service to advise me. But the Australian government does. Now, I don't believe that Mr. Albanese, the Prime Minister of this country, has got a massive majority which he refuses to use to introduce reforms in this country, even thought about asking for advice. So I'm going to do something which I'm a specialist at, giving people unsolicited advice. Now, the first thing is, let's look at our geographical location. The nearest significant sovereign nation state to Australia is, guess what? Indonesia. Indonesia has over 250 million people. It is the largest Muslim sovereign nation state in the world. It's got more than double the population, almost triple the population of Iran. And most of that population are devout Muslims. Now, many of these Muslims would be Shia Muslims who'd be reeling at the idea that their religious leader, the Ayatollah, has been murdered by the United States and the Israeli government. Right? Now, Malaysia is predominantly a Muslim country, and those that of you that have been to Malaysia in the last few years or Indonesia would understand how important religion is in these countries. Okay, so here we are, the great bastion of Australia, with a total of 27 million people, supported in inverted commas by the United States of America, who are only interested in their own welfare, unless they can be fooled, like they were. The Washington buffoon was fooled by Benny and the boys. The fact is that we've shot ourselves in the foot as far as regional alliances are concerned. Why would anybody in what can be described as the Muslim heartland of planet Earth, Indonesia, Malaysia, southern Philippines, southern Thailand, all areas that are within our sphere of influence, why would they come to the defence of this country when, instead of waiting a few days to smell the wind, the Australian government shoots up and says, wow, we support the United States of America and Israelis invasion, combat mission in Iran. How pathetic. At the same time, the morons in the Australian government, including the Defence Minister, the Prime Minister, the Foreign Minister, forgot that Abu Dhabi and the Emirates, Emirates Airways, Etihad Airways, which are owned by the Emirates, right? That most Australians no longer fly to Singapore to get to Europe because of the cost involved, but will take a cheaper flight from Australia to Abu Dhabi to Europe. Now, I've just been through that in the last few days. I was on one of the last planes that came out of Abu Dhabi before the carnage began. And the fact is, there's 110,000 Australians trapped in the Middle East. Obviously, some work there, but a significant number are just poor fools who are trying to have a holiday, who now find themselves totally isolated with the Australian government not being in a position to rescue them. That's one in 200 Australians. Just extraordinary. Didn't even think about that. The fools in the Australian government, of all the advisers they had, didn't even think about the fact that the beginning of hostilities would result in the entrapment of 110,000 Australians, 115,000, which is one in 200. Extraordinary. Just extraordinary. It's all very well to say, well, we didn't know it's going to happen. That's fine. I didn't know it was going to happen. Neither did all the people that are trapped there now knew it was going to happen. We all knew it was going to happen at some stage, but not the exact date. But the Australian government, instead of waiting a few days to see what would develop, they jump up and down and say, yes, we fully support the invasion, or the combat mission, my apologies, of Iran by the United States of America and the terrorist state of Israel. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And we think that these people are fit to govern us when they have put the lives of so many Australians at risk. And let's go a little step further. I took out insurance. Now, I don't know how many people realise this. The travel insurance is void if there is a terrorist attack or a war. Now, there are tens of thousands of Australians who have booked holidays to Europe, who had plans to travel, you know, through the Middle East to get to Europe, who have now lost tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars because of this. Is the Australian government going to compensate them? Of course not. Of course not. So this does have a profound impact on us. And obviously I can talk about, you know, petrol prices and all that stuff, but I'm not going to bother this today. But the Australian government has shot itself in the foot. Didn't even think about the ramifications of their full-blooded support for the United States and the terrorist state of Israel's combat missions in Iran and the effect it would have on the rest of the Middle East. Now, obviously, the clowns That's right. The clowns in Washington felt that if we kill the religious leader, as I said, the equivalent of the Pope in the Sistine Chapel, well, somehow the Iranian state will crumble. We began to believe our own propaganda. Now, obviously, the CIA is very good at tracking people in terms of bombs, but it doesn't seem to have much idea about the culture, power structures within that particular country. Even an idiot like me has a little bit more understanding than they do. Extraordinary. Extraordinary. Now, let's get to the war itself. Now, I need to do this, you know. See, wars are interesting because the people who win are those that have the military might and new inventions change the dynamics of war. I'll give you an example. Now, the Mongol Empire was able to conquer extraordinary amounts of land, including the whole of China and Jerusalem, Baghdad, the Middle East, and right up to Europe, because of two things that nobody else had. One, they invented stirrups. So while the lumbering Teutonic knights came at them in their, you know, heavy armour, the fact is that the Mongol warriors could kind of move around on their saddles and use their bows and arrows to bring them down. And at the same time, they conquered what Napoleon was not able to do, and that was work out how to feed an army. And what they used was dried meat under their saddles. And obviously they had a very extensive network which they controlled through the use of having little... So all I'm saying is they had innovations. So what is the innovation as far as warfare is concerned, which we have seen in the Ukraine? There is a new actor in warfare. It doesn't matter how big your aircraft carrier is. It doesn't matter how good your stealth bomber is. It doesn't matter. What the Iranians have demonstrated, like the Ukrainians have demonstrated, but obviously we don't remember history, do we? History began when I woke up this morning, obviously in this country, but that's a different story. Drones. Inexpensive, highly destructive. Inexpensive, highly destructive. That's what drones are. They're extraordinary weapons. What we are seeing in the Middle East is how drone technology is beginning to have a significant impact on the way warfare is conducted. It's a little bit like when the missiles were created. That gave people an edge. But drones... I mean, who would have expected that a little drone could cause damage to the US Embassy in Riyadh or in Abu Dhabi? And that's the fact. A drone can bring a country to its knees. And what the Iranians have done over the years is develop their drone technology. They were selling drones, you know, to Russia to conduct their warfare in the Ukraine. So, let's move on. Now, it's always good to come back to this wonderful country. And I just noticed the divided nation hate machine is in overdrive. Yep. The divided nation hate machine. Now, obviously, all Muslims are bad. We know that. Pauline told me. That's fine. But isn't it fascinating how many Australians are willing to be driven by hate? This is nothing new. We've seen it since colonisation began, that fear and hate is a very good mobilizing tool, as we saw in Rwanda, a great mobilizing tool. And it's good to see so many Australians are now flocking to Divided Nation, thinking that somehow that promoting hatred against other members of our community is going to solve their problems. Now, obviously, there are major issues developing in this country, especially when we have a Labor government which is paralysed by its inability to actually do anything because it's too frightened, you know, of the Murdoch media and, you know, asocial media to do anything. So Divided Nation now is level pegging with what's left of the Liberal Party. And it's interesting to see that the Liberal Party has learnt nothing. When you look at the report, which was leaked to Parliament by the Prime Minister, it's all about personal odium. It's not about the fact that the Liberal Party has been totally taken over by the Institute of Public, in inverted commas, Private Affairs and certain authoritarian sections of the Christian movement. There is nothing in the Liberal Party apparatus, in their branch structure, in terms of their policies, which have any relevance to a larger number of Australians. So finding themselves in that situation, finding themselves in a situation where, as we saw with the buffoon in Washington who was elected by the American people, finding themselves in the situation, they're looking around for somebody to blame. Somebody to blame for inflation, somebody to blame for the increased cost of living, somebody to blame for the fact that, you know, they can't afford the rent, somebody to blame because the public housing sector has been destroyed in this country and especially in the state of Victoria. So people are attracted to those simple solutions. Get rid of the Muslims and it'll all be all right. Remember when Divided Nation first started? It was about First Nations people, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders, all those bludgers on welfare, right? Then they moved on to the Asian, especially the Chinese members of our community. We had that period, you know, which reminded me of the Cornwall period where, you know, Mr. Cornwall made the statement, two wrongs don't make a white. And the fact is, now Divided Nation has moved on to the next phase of their hate campaign, the Muslim community. You got to worry when there are 1 billion Muslims and Pauline thinks that there's no good Muslim in the world. Ah, well. So Divided Nation hate campaign is in overdrive. The Liberal Party is dead in the water. And what do we see from the Murdoch media? The same inane crap day in and day out. And why do I think the Murdoch media is still important in the country of Australia in a period of social media or asocial media, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, you name it, it's all out there. All that garbage is out there, including garbage which I produce. But the thing is, the Murdoch media still sets the political, social and cultural agenda for the day. It's fascinating. Have a look at The Australian, read it one day, and then listen the next day to all the debate, the direction of the debate. And this is the problem with the Albanese Labor government. Although it's got a record majority, and although it's got a friendly, reform-focused Senate, it is not willing to move forward, somehow thinking that longevity is the issue. Look at the Whitlam-led Labor government. Over 280 major reforms, including the formation of Medicare. 4 years. 4 years. Unbelievable. And all the Albanese Labor government can do is continue to shoot itself in the foot. Now, there is a silver lining to every cloud. Did you know that? There is a silver lining to every cloud. Now, I heard one of my competitors, you know, Mr. Sandy Lands and Kylie O, have had a bust up. Now, Kylie O and Mr. Sandyland have been an item for about, I think, about 25 years. And recently, they went into a $200 million contract over a 10-year period to continue to pour out their inane babblings to the people of Australia. And thinking that they were unbeatable, their masters, Kiss Radio, introduced them to the people of Melbourne. Now, I know that it was a bomb. It is a total bomb. The drivel that comes from that program makes the Anarchist World This Week look like an intellectual powerhouse, but that's not very hard, is it? So poor old Kylie O has had enough of Mr. Sandyland, and they've had a separation. She won't go back to the microphone with him. He's been banned for a few weeks. And maybe we have seen the end of gutter radio. Not that it matters that much, because what's more importantly, have we seen the end of the influence the Murdoch media has on the debate in this country and the ability, that's right, the ability of the Australian government to get involved in significant reforms in this country? Because if it doesn't, we will see more and more people flock to Divided Nation. We will see the demise of the Liberal Party. The National Party will hang on in regional areas. And we will see a very different Australia. You've been listening to the Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia, courtesy of the Community Radio Network. I'm pleased to be back. This program is podcast. You can access the podcast by going to 3cr.org.au. That's 3cr.org.au. You can leave messages on 0439 395 489. 0439 395 489. YouTube channel, Public Interest Before Corporate Interest. YouTube channel, josephtoscano.nam, which is a historical channel on radical activity in the past and its impact on 2026 Australia. You can go to anarchistmedia.org, and you can always join Public Interest Before Corporate Interest. I'm amazed at how little interest there seems to be in Public Interest Before Corporate Interest. You can join on PIBCI, PIBCI.net. In an era where Divided Nation is garnering support, it's important that people like us, who think that the interests of the many is more important than the interests of the few, become involved in activities which challenge the rise of Divided Nation. So I encourage you to join Public Interest Before Corporate Interest. And for this, and for those listeners in Melbourne who are listening today, which is Wednesday the 4th of March, just like to remind you, new dinner venue for people of the eastern suburbs at the Taiagra, T-A-I-A-G-R-A, 129 Maroondah Highway, Ringwood. It's across the road from the Ringwood Railway Station. That's why we picked it. We'll see what happens over the next few months. If it's successful, if it's successful. If it isn't, it isn't. Thank you once again for listening to The Anarchist World This Week, courtesy of the Community Radio Network. My name's Joseph Toscano. The program has been coming to you from the studios of 3CR in Melbourne. This program will be podcast within the next 24 hours, 3cr.org.au. Listen in to The Anarchist World This Week on your local community radio station next week.
Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction.
An analysis you'll never hear anywhere else. Anarchist World This Week, Australia's sacred cow slaughterhouse. 10 a.m. every Wednesday. Listen to the Anarchist World This Week for an up-to-date analysis of local, national and international events.
Poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.